broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's episode number 345 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Craft Bag presents the latest ramblings of the Scottish guy. At 12:25, J.D. Lewis answers our fantasy football questions. And in mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Brian Jones of CBS. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is a guy who can talk hoops, sports, music, and a whole lot more. They call him Zay on the morning show. It is Isaiah Collier. Zay, how are you today?
Pretty good, Trey. Just making shirts and skins a little more dark skin.
I can agree with that. And sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Friday. Headed into the off weekend if you're a Longhorn fan and a Cowboys fan, but there's a lot of football to get into. Like Trey said, we'll try to help you with fantasy stuff at 12:30 with JD, so start getting those questions in. 337-3776 on the Specs text line. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We start off every Friday show ready to roll right from the beginning because we know how much he wants to talk about that Texas defense. It's Brian Jones of CBS Sports at Jones and Famo on Twitter. Brian, how are you, sir?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to give y'all a double shot of that dark skin.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that.
We're really uncomfortable.
Me and Isaiah, we got your back.
We're really uncomfortable right now, Brian. We're not sure what to do. The numbers are even now.
Yeah, you know what? We've had a lot of practice with them being uneven, so we'll walk you through it.
Yeah, well, Brian, you just said double shot. Longhorn fans have experienced a double shot of, wait a second, where did the lead go? Yeah. There was a lead right here. It was a multiple score lead. It felt really good, and now it's gone. We obviously talked to you about the Oklahoma version. Let's go over the Oklahoma State version. What did you make of Mike Gundy crawling out of that situation and finding a win?
Well, losing has a pretty pungent aroma, and you cats are living in Funky Town, man. This defense is just going over the field. There was a lot of good. I'll point out that college kid. I thought he played a well of a game along the line of scrimmage. He flashed big old 99 and number 90. They flashed as well. So there were some improvements up front. And the same things keep rearing their ugly heads, though, guys. And that's what's so perplexing and frustrating when you turn on the tape is that, you know, these cats have no football IQ. It just has to come down to that because it's simple stuff that continues to happen. For instance, late in that fourth quarter, they allow Warren to get outside. And number 18, that's a transfer, I believe, from Notre Dame.
Yep.
He's got outside levers. He plays it correctly initially. He's got to contain the play. Then he sticks his damn head inside. Warren is able to get outside of it and goes on a long game. You had it played correctly. Just stay out there and take care of your responsibility, and you'll be all right. But just, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. Goes inside and Warren is loose. Another time he gets pinned. We keep seeing this, and you're going to continue to see it until it stopped. And we talked about this after the Oklahoma game. Wide receivers cracking on these linebackers. He gets cracked, and they get a long gain out of that. I mean, it was just ridiculous stuff. There's no football IQ, no recognition. You got a third and long. Or second long, I think it was. And as a linebacker, you're screaming, watch the draw, watch the screen. There's only so many damn things they can do in a second or third long. So you're yelling that out to your peeps. And they get a huge gain. I think it was a quarterback on it, on the draw. It's just dumb stuff. 33's nowhere to be found. He's in the game at that point. I'm like, these dudes are dumb because it's simple football. And that's, once again, what just makes you want to pull out what's left of my little afro. Just like, guys, we're 7 weeks into this thing, and you're still making silly mistakes. But from a front standpoint, the guys up front, I thought they did well. And as far as losing these leads, why are you running out of gas? That's got to come down to conditioning. Yeah. And then you start looking at your strength and conditioning program if guys are not able to finish. So that's something they definitely got to harp on during this off week.
Well, BJ, there was an emphasis on the idea that when Steve Sarkisian came in, they were splitting the strength and the conditioning elements up. They were going to have different coaches for each. And the frustrating thing for me is, look, that sounds well and good. That's an interesting concept, and I like that you have one guy who specializes one who specializes in the other. Unfortunately, they're looking like the weaker and worse conditioned team most weeks against good competition.
Well, I don't know what the protocols are there, but coming from Alabama, he's seen one of the best put it all together as far as their strength and conditioning program. And he was at a pretty good one during the run there at SC. And Washington, you know, wasn't anything really to sneeze about throughout the years prior to him getting there. So I don't know what the plan is. I just know what I'm seeing, and guys are not finishing. Whether that's because whoever is in control of the weights and then the sprinting and the conditioning, whether or not they're on the same page, I don't know. I would have an uninformed opinion. But whatever the reason, it needs to be fixed.
Well, BJ, let me ask you about this because you just mentioned 33. That is Jalen Ford. He and David Benda, number 41, both received more playing time this last game as a result of DeMarvion Overshown being a concussion protocol. And I think the coach is maybe trying to mix it up and try a new guy at those inside linebacker positions. Did you see anything from either that would lend you to believe that one or both needs to see the field more going forward?
I've seen more than enough of 33, yeah. Give me Tony Dorsett. I'd rather have him play linebacker than that 33. 41, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, guys. He stands out on tape. He might not know what the hell he's doing, but he knows how to find the football. So, yeah, that kid needs more playing time. I think you have something that you can mold and refine there because he has a nose for the football. He gets there where he's supposed to be. And then now it's just about, okay, being more physical, taking on blocks and things of that nature. But one, can you find the damn ball? And he does. So he checks that box in a big way.
You said that was 41 that you're a little bit higher on? Okay, so I actually had the numbers reversed. That's Jalen Ford. David Benda is 33. So that's good to hear because I felt like I saw something similar there. Now, he certainly made mistakes as well, but it seemed like less than the other three guys.
No doubt, yeah, he did. And then he made a play out in space. I think it was a third down near the goal line. And that's another positive. You know, they've been holding these offenses for the most part to field goals until they don't. You know, at the end of the Oklahoma game, at the end of the game last weekend, started giving up touchdowns after being pretty stout and bending and not breaking. But he made a play out there on the perimeter in space. That was pretty damn nice. So, yeah, he's a guy that stands out when you turn on the film.
Brian, one more from me on Texas, and we'll get to some of the other games around the country. But I wanted you to talk about the complimentary football thing because watching this team, it starts to go bad, and it goes bad for everybody at the same time. So give me the defensive perspective when, after that Bijan touchdown, they run 8 offensive plays that gain 14 combined yards. They lost 5 yards on a penalty and then threw the pick at the end. What does that do to a defense that obviously is not perfect? But just talk about the complimentary football thing and how exhausted that defense can look at the end if you're giving them nothing but 3 and outs.
Yeah, that's that offensive line, 14 yards, 1 yard in the fourth quarter, that's embarrassing. It doesn't get any more embarrassing than that. I mean, this offensive line couldn't block ice. these guys, you watch these guys, they're top heavy, they're falling over themselves, they stumble into blocks, they don't accelerate on contact. In other words, driving. Once you've made contact, you're supposed to really then start revving up those legs and driving and trying to finish the block. And I see none of that nastiness that you want in your offensive line. And as a backer, you hate it, but that's what you want from your cohorts on that other side of the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, that's a huge work in progress because that's they got to be just really embarrassed. 14 yards and 1 yard in the fourth quarter. And once again, twists, little stunts up front, tech stunt, exit, what have you. Call it whatever the hell you want to call it. It's simple football stunts that Oklahoma State's running, that Oklahoma was running, and these guys, they couldn't find their you-know-what. It's embarrassing. It's just terrible.
It's three straight offensive line coaches now that don't seem to understand how to coach against that. I don't understand that.
Listen, you saw Coach Flood comes from Alabama, where he saw a ton of great athletes across from him on that defensive side, whether it was in practice and pretty much every week in the league, the SEC. So he knows how to coach it against it. You just got to have the right guys, man. I look at these behemoths at Alabama. I look at these behemoths at other schools, and these cats. There's a little nastiness to them. They know how to drive block. They know how to engage and get to the second level. They're just smarter football players. I'm going to say the same thing about the O-line as I say about the defense. Maybe that football IQ is just not up to snuff, because I don't see anything exotic being done on a regular basis. They might get you every now and then. They're going to throw out some trick plays that'll fool you every now and then. But for the most part, it's just your garden variety football. If you can't master that, you're damn well not going to be able to master anything above, that from a scheme or concept standpoint.
Talking with Brian Jones, CBS Sports. Speaking of Brian, it is an LSU Ole Miss in Oxford. That's got a lot of drama to it. Tomorrow's 2:30 game. So let us know. I know you got contacts around the conference and the country. What are you hearing about Ed O's replacement? Should Aggie fans be worried? Should these Ole Miss fans be worried? Or is it somebody else?
Well, Ole Miss, they should always be worried. Crazy Kiffin, man. He would love the gig. I did hear that he would love that gig. And why wouldn't you? The talent they have. I mean, what they did last week was as surprising as anything that's occurred pretty much this season. That was phenomenal. Hadn't been able to run the rock. Check this out. Their first six ball games, they had 500 total yards rushing. 500. Their first six games. Wow. And last week, of course, 327. In one game versus Florida. And speaking of soft defense, that Florida defense, they ain't got nothing to brag about.
Yep.
They are soft as table butter. Those linebackers, oh my, one dude stopped in the middle of the damn play to grab his forearm. Let me run this back. Can I just see what I think I just saw? He stopped. He threw a forearm shiver, and he must have got his funny bone tickled or something, but he just stopped. And there goes Tyrion Davis Price. Threw them again all the way to a school record 287. So Todd Grantham's got some issues there at Florida, as does their head coach Dan Mullen. I'm hearing that as far as LSU, usually they look towards someone that's been there previously. And, of course, Dave Aranda comes to mind, doing a fabulous job at Baylor thus far. And Mel Tucker, who's unscathed and doing a wonderful job at Michigan State. Now, you talking about moving around. He goes from Georgia to D.C. to Colorado and now to Michigan State. Does he want to move again? He was there back in 2000 with Coach Saban. So those are the two names I'm hearing. If there was a top of the list, it would be those two currently.
Any thoughts on USC Notre Dame? Kind of light weekend in college football, of course. That's a traditional rivalry.
Yeah. What's like? We got LSU and Ole Miss, man. It's going to be big fun. That's a soap opera on a Saturday. You talking about Young and the Restless. Of course, Coach O was restless. That's why he's going to get 17.8 to go be restless somewhere else. You got the Young and Kiffin. So we got soap opera galore. This is writing it. The storyline is writing itself as far as this game. And then you got this cat and mouse game going on with Matt Corral, whether or not he's hurt. 33 carries last week there in Knoxville versus Tennessee. And we still don't know where he's going to play. I think he is going to play. You're right, though, man. We were talking about this Trey Tuesday during our Inside College Football show. How about we have a no huddle segment, games that really aren't on your radar, but we still want to talk about them quickly. So we go through it real fast. And Notre Dame SC was in there, man. Unbelievable that, and it's more on the SC front than the Notre Dame front, of course, that game is not as hyped as it has been in years past. And speaking of that job, I've heard that, hey, don't be surprised if Brian Kelly says, you know, enough of this Notre Dame thing. I've taken them as far as I can. I'm going to go out to sunny Southern California and work for the Trojans. Yeah. So
interesting.
Put that one out there in the ether, man. So we'll see what happens. But I'm thinking that they're going to go more of the NFL route. As I've said previously, you know, Ronnie Morris, who's there with the Rams, has been of interest. Anthony Lynn, the former Chargers head coach, has been of interest. And speaking of Coach Lynn, he and Pete Carroll have identical records, NFL records. When Pete Carroll left, remember, he was fired a couple times prior to going to SC, and he was 33-31, and Coach Lynn is 33-31 as well. So how ironic is that?
Interesting.
Very.
Brian, in the Big 12, everybody's trying to figure out Oklahoma State, Iowa State. Oklahoma State is a top 10 team by ranking. Iowa State is the touchdown favorite at home. What do you make of that game?
Well, first of all, and I saw where Gundy just got an extension. Well-deserved, man. Just the way they're balling, they don't really do a lot. This is the same offense that we've witnessed in the past where they can chuck it over your head at will, and they do it often and very successfully. They're not doing that as much. It's leaning on Jalen Warren, and that's working. And a stout defense. Jim Nosebunch is playing just superb football right now. And that number 20, Rodriguez kid, boy, he'll tuck you in at night as well. So defensively doing great, but you look at Iowa State off of their bye week, man, and that's the most complete they've looked all season. Brock Purdy didn't try to do too much. I think he misfired on about three passes. Brees got his. And they're finding some new guys in that wide receiver room, which they desperately needed. I think it's Jalen Noel is the kid's name. He stood out. And of course, they still have those big old trees and sequoias at tight end. But defensively, you know, they were much better. So I like Iowa State. I had a touchdown. I'm not so sure. Oklahoma State's owned them here recently in the month of October. But coming off of their most complete game, and as you guys know, going to Little Manhattan is always going to be a physical ball game and a tough one, but they pretty much manhandled them.
That is Brian Jones of CBS Sports, and as he told you, if you like your drama, oh, they've got it for you tomorrow afternoon on CBS. They got Ed O, Lane Kiffin, The Grove, Chicken on a Stick, whatever you need, they've got it tomorrow afternoon. Brian, we always appreciate it, man. Y'all enjoy that game. We'll see what the drama gives us.
We got wives, ex-wives, girlfriends, ex-girlfriends. All that, man. Bring it. Hook 'em,
buddy.
Thank you, Brian. I'm telling you, I would pay good. I'd pay some hard-earned money to listen to what they talk about at the 50. Leave those two guys alone, but mic one of them, and let them think nobody's listening. And I want to know what they talk about.
Yeah, and you may need somebody to translate for Ed O too.
Oh my God, that's going to be unbelievable. That is a 2:30. State and Iowa State is a 2:30 as well. And if you're interested in that Clemson-Pitt game that all of a sudden becomes a talking point, that's a 2:30 kick. And Clemson's not the ranked team. Pitt is on ESPN. So thanks to Brian for his time as always. Yesterday, our man J.D. Lewis couldn't help you with fantasy, so we hope you didn't have anybody in that Cleveland-Denver game, but he's ready to help you now. 337-3776. J.D.'s jumping in next, going to help Trey and the Tent City Hobos. Then he's going to try to help you and your fantasy team. That's coming up next. 337-3776. Specs text line and fantasy football from J.D. coming right up on a Friday. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Just getting started on a Friday. Isaiah Collier producing for us. That means the music could just about go anywhere. What do you got, Isaiah?
Boss Sags.
Boss Gags? Really?
Okay.
Look at you. This is one of those guys I have no reference point for. I know the name. Look at you. So wait, what is this? What is this music good for? Sounds almost like baby making music. Sounds like
this is the groove.
Mood music, groove music. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I know of the name. I just don't know enough about him. But I know there's lots of respect out there for Boz Scaggs. All right, starting us off with some Boz Scaggs. When it's Isaiah, there could be cool, spooky white chicks played at some point. Yesterday, he hit us with some early Christina Aguilera that I was not quite prepared for. And we're never quite prepared for Brian Jones, but thanks to him for his time. Somebody texted in that Coach O was restless with the young. That's a good line. That's very good. Brian kind of was going there, too, with the Ed O and LSU Ole Miss game. All right, we ready to roll? See if we can help some fantasy folks. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe at Cantina Hotline. He was nice enough to adjust the schedule. Couldn't do it yesterday on the normal day, so we're moving it to Friday. We hope you didn't have any Cleveland-Denver mess that you needed to clean up. It's J.D. Lewis talking fantasy football. J.D., how are you?
I'm great. And, of course, had we talked yesterday, I would have recommended D'Ernest Johnson to everybody and, you know, just told them to go ahead and play him.
Yes.
Chad, do you know who D'Ernest Johnson is?
You know what? I was reminded who he was. I knew the name was familiar to me. He was on that Orlando AAF team with Garrett Gilbert, coached by Steve Spurrier.
Huh.
That's right. Do you know what college he went to?
I do. It was South Florida.
That's right. USF. You got it.
Yeah. And it's a name that kept ringing in my head yesterday, and I looked him up just as like, I know that guy from somewhere, but he was on that team. So, all right, before we help the people, JD, Trey needs help with the hobos.
First of all, this is my first time to ever get to ride the Derrick Henry train, and I picked a good year to do so, at least through this point. My goodness, JD, I don't know if you've ever had him on a team before, but it's just a pleasure to get to root for this guy and have him really carry your team to victory week to week. I needed about 30 points heading into Monday Night Football this week. I had Josh Allen and Derrick Henry. I felt pretty good about it having both of those guys, but it only took Derrick Henry's effort to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Who told you to draft Derrick Henry?
You did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good job. Unfortunately, I don't have any shares of Derrick Henry, so... it just didn't work out that way. But, yeah, anywhere I was sitting in that kind of 4-5 spot, Henry was the guy that I was looking at just because, you know, you know what his workload's going to be, and the guy just doesn't get hurt. They've got a great O-line. That entire offense is built around him. Yeah, he's fun to play with. It's not fun to go against him, I can tell you that, because I feel like I've been against him every week that he just goes off, and I'm always like, why didn't I get this guy?
All right.
Good to have him, though.
As fun as the Derrick Henry train is, the Jacoby Myers Model T is getting a bit frustrated at this point. Do I need to give up on Jacoby Myers and pick up the Dallas Cowboys defense and somebody drop them on their bye week?
What wide receiver is Jacoby? Is he your wide receiver 5 or wide receiver 6?
He is my wide receiver, depending on Corey Davis's matchup, 5 or 6.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Corey Davis enough to do that. While I like the Cowboys D, how many teams in your league?
12 teams.
Yeah, maybe you do that. I mean, look, Myers is still going to he's going to bring value at some point, but the fact that he just does not get in the end zone limits his upside. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with going ahead and doing that. Plus, you could still always, you know, if you have to do a flyer week to week, you could probably find a wide receiver that can put up the same kind of numbers that he's putting up. But, you know, I mean, he is a safe floor at 5-6 receptions for 40 yards, but just haven't quite seen that upside yet from him.
Okay, so based on that then, my last flex spot, half PPR as a reminder, it's either Michael Pittman, Jacoby Myers, Alex Collins, or Devontae Booker.
It's going to be Pittman or Booker. I think, I mean, assuming that Saquon is not going to play this week, because, I mean, if Saquon does play, I wouldn't expect him to get anywhere close to a full load. He might get 7-8 carries, but that's going to eat into Booker's carries. So, you know, in that case, I would be leaning towards Pittman. Do you have Corey Davis in your lineup right now or not? Because I wouldn't play him against the Patriots.
I do not have him in my lineup, no.
Okay.
Just seeing that he was going against the Patriots, I didn't even really consider him.
There you go. Yeah, I lean towards Pittman, especially with T.Y. Hilton being a little banged up. He's got that quad injury. He's questionable. If he doesn't go, it's definitely Pittman. If he does go, then it's a decision, I think, between Pittman and Booker.
All right, J.D., let's see if we can help the rest of the people. This says you need to get rid of one. Calvin Ridley, A.J. Brown, Robert Woods, or Jamar Chase. Who do you sit?
Oh, okay. Just sit. Not cut. Just sit.
Just sit. Okay. Yes, they say pick three. Yeah, pick three of the four.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to play Calvin Ridley. I feel like Robert Woods has been coming on again, so I'm going to play Robert Woods, and I can't bitch Ja'Marr Chase. A.J. Brown is one of those guys where he really has yet to do anything impressive, and because you have three other really good options, I think it's okay to risk him having a big week this week on your bench just so that you can see it before you start getting him back in your lineup. I just, again, to the Derrick Henry point, that offense is running through him. A.J. Brown's been a little bit banged up with the hammy. That also presents a re-injury risk during the game. So as hard as it is to bench A.J. Brown because you have three other really good options, I would go ahead and still bench him this week. And if he goes off, you still feel okay about it because he has yet to go off through 6 weeks.
Gotcha. All right. PPR flex, pick one, A.J. Green, Gibson, Anderson, or Goddard?
I'm still a Gibson guy, assuming that he's playing. I know he had a stinker last week with like 4.5 points or something, but they're still going to want to utilize him in that offense. I'm assuming we're talking about Antonio Gibson. So
yep.
Continue to monitor. Like, if he doesn't play this week for any reason, you bench him. But if he keeps playing the capacity that he has the past few weeks, even though, again, I know last week was a little rough, I think you got to stick with him.
Remember, 337-3776 is the text number. And if you texted a whole bunch of stuff, try to whittle it down. I can't read a book to JD, so just get to the point of what you need him to figure out and shoot that to me. 337-3776 on the Specs text line. JD, need to start two full PPR, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, Brian Edwards, or Christian Kirk?
Mooney and Moore.
Mooney.
Christian Kirk's too much of a dart throw. And Brian Edwards, even more of a dart throw than Christian Kirk.
Too much of a dart throw. That's a fantastic description. All right, JD, PPR league, pick two wide receivers, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Mecole Hardman, Rondale Moore. Two of those.
First two, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin.
All righty. JD, should I stick? This is a tough question. Should I stick with Ryan Tannehill or go for someone on the free agent list like Matt Ryan or Derek Carr?
Matt Ryan's been playing better, so he's a guy that I would consider. And Tannehill's just not getting the touchdown passes that made him so valuable last year, and he's not even really running the ball very much. So Tannehill, it comes down to, are you cutting Tannehill for one of those guys, or are you going to hold on to Tannehill, start one of those guys this week because you have an extra spot? I would be a proponent of holding Tannehill, picking up Matt Ryan, and then starting Matt Ryan this week over Tannehill.
Potential trade. This person says he has Josh Allen as his quarterback. Should he trade away Daryl Henderson for Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, assuming he's got running back depth to be able to kind of fill that up. Like, you can't, if you've only got three good running backs and you're trading one of them, and now you just have two at a position that gets hurt all the time, as we are seeing right now in the league, I don't know that you can afford that necessarily. But heck yeah, on paper, assuming that you maybe have three other just decent running backs, yeah, I would much rather go ahead and have that Josh Allen, Steph Diggs connection, and I'd rather have Diggs than Henderson for the rest of the year. Henderson's still a big injury risk. I mean, he finally made it through a full game, but, I mean, he's been knocked out of, like, two of his last four games and missed one. So, yeah, I think that's a deal that I would absolutely do.
He said his running backs are Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Alex Collins, and Devontae Booker.
Done. Do it. Yeah, you can continue to find and stream that RB3, but because he has two basically, you know, surefire starters at running back, he can absolutely afford to do that. And again, Steph Diggs, especially as we get later into the season. I mean, Allen threw a pass behind him last week. He should have had another touchdown. And I think we're only kind of starting to – I feel like Steph Diggs is coming back, and we're scratching the surface of what he can do. So that's definitely a buy-low candidate, and you're not having to give up too much in Henderson for that. So I think it's a great deal.
JD, there's a chance I'm being punked here, but it just could be that they're being a little more clever. Should I start DN? Do you know who DN is?
DN.
DN is in, yeah, D is in dog, I N like, is in Nancy. I feel like I'm being
literally
pumped.
The initials.
Yeah, right. Like
I think that's probably an autocorrect from DK.
How about that? Maybe. Okay. All right. In that case,
let's assume that it's DK, and he's saying, should I start DK? And even with Geno Smith at quarterback, yes, you're starting DK Metcalf.
Look at that. JD might have just dug into an autocorrect. He's so good. Very well done. All right. Tannehill, Darnold, or Cousins?
Is Cousins playing this week? I think he's on bye, isn't he? I think Vikings are on bye.
Well, you know what? He is. You're right. You're right. So I guess Tannehill, Darnold.
I would go with I'd go Tannehill just because I think that offense is rolling a little bit more right now, and they're going to have to score some points against Kansas City. And to be honest, I had forgotten that Tennessee was playing Kansas City. So back to the previous texter's point of go ahead and stick with Tannehill this week, just because the way that that game could turn out is Kansas City gets up a lot early and Tennessee has to throw a lot. So I would go Tannehill this week because it's Kansas City and because they're at home.
PPR league, Ruggs or Devontae Smith?
Devontae Smith. I look, Ruggs is so hit or miss. I mean, and I mean, when I say hit or miss, I mean he can give you zero and he can give you 40. And so I don't want that. I would much rather have, you know, kind of the sure thing there. And so I'm gonna fade him in that situation.
By the way, texters figured it out. D's nuts. It was a D's nuts. I knew there was something, some joke. That's what it was. But even if you're asked, somebody was asking about DK Metcalf, they could maybe get the help.
There you go.
All right, JD, full PPR. Any value in Le'Veon Bell? I'm in bye week hell. Help.
So, yeah, maybe for this week, and it, maybe you get lucky. I would still prefer to have a guy, if he's available, like a Mark Ingram or a Nyheim Hines or somebody that doesn't offer the low side that Le'Veon Bell offers. I just don't think that Bell has that much left in the tank, and it's still Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell, and so like of his 10 touches, you're hoping he gets in the end zone. And I just don't think that that's a very high likelihood. So I get a lot of people are in bye week hell this week plus with injuries. And so you may be desperate enough that you have to do it, but that is not a preference of mine. And nowhere where I'm in these binds have I looked at my free agents and gone, oh, Le'Veon Bell's the best choice of all these guys. Now, if you're in a 14 or 16 team league, that might be the case. And you just kind of have to do it, but I'd have to know what the other options the guy has to really be able to kind of help him out there. But I'm in the same position. I like the guy that I like a lot this week that is probably already picked up, but maybe not, is Rashard Penny. I think that with Alex Collins being questionable for a Monday night game and, you know, potentially could miss it, we know Chris Carson's going to be out, and we've also heard Pete Carroll come out and say that Rashard Penny is going to be a full go in practice this week. And so I would expect him to actually have a pretty good amount of the touches for Seattle against the Saints on Monday night.
I liked him a lot coming out of San Diego State. I'm honestly a little bit surprised he hasn't done more in the NFL, but then again, he's been hurt a whole lot. Hey, speaking of running backs, JD, last question here. This person is targeting a running back via trade. Which guy has the highest upside the rest of the season to try and go after? Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris, Chase Edmonds, Mike Davis, or Miles Sanders?
None of the above. look, if the Eagles could figure out that they need to give Miles Sanders the ball more, that would be the answer. None of those guys are all that enthralling to me, and nor would they be trade targets of mine where I'd have to give up anything other than bench players to go get. I'd be trying to figure out something better to go after, somebody, you know, maybe try to buy low on Saquon Barkley with his injury. I mean, everybody remembers from that is that super fat ankle of his. But the reality is a low ankle sprain is about a 7-day recovery period. He's probably going to miss this week again. But if you could find someone that's scared enough to go ahead and unload Barkley, that's the kind of guy that I'd be trying to go after that has that upside, because he's got a clear cut path to the majority of the carries in his backfield, whether that's goal line, receiving downs, all that kind of stuff. Of those guys, if you're telling me, if I had to answer from all of them, I would say maybe Chase Edmonds, but I just hate that he's not a goal line back. He's a PPR scat back type mm-hmm. that can score, but he's only going to be scoring from 15 yards or plus out, rarely from any closer than that. So he's probably got the highest upside, especially if James Conner were to suffer an injury, which he's been known to do the last few years, and he's handling a lot more touches these days. And so I would say upside rest of the season, Chase Edmonds, plus that offense is going to run, what, 70, 80 plays a game if they can. So that certainly helps.
Really surprised Damian Harris hasn't turned into something more this year. I didn't necessarily think he'd be an elite running back, but I thought he'd be a good option. He's really fallen flat.
I totally agree. And I mean, he's had a few really ill-timed fumbles. And while I like Damian Harris, I don't trust Bill Belichick with his running backs just because, and you've got Ramondre Stevenson kind of, you know, barking at his door as well and starting to get some more carries, and they're enjoying him. And Damian Harris still doesn't offer you any kind of an upside from a passing game perspective. Like, he got a lot of targets, I think, the week after James White was hurt. But since then, he's not seeing a whole lot in the passing game.
That is J.D. Lewis. If you didn't get your question answered, or if you just thought of another one, at J.D. Lewis, FF for fantasy football. He's got a lot of leagues going at the same time, just like you do, and he can try to help you out if you've got an issue. J.D., we always appreciate it, man. Thanks for moving things around for us. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. You guys, too. See ya.
Thanks, J.D.
Good stuff there. Hope you have another good fantasy football week. A lot of stuff going on there. Yeah, a lot of people might have had the benefit of D'Ernest Johnson last night as he ended up with, what was it, 146? 22 carries, 146, and a touchdown. Not bad. All right, speaking of games, we've got our degenerates coming up at 105 and 205. Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com comes up at 1. Our man Sammy P. from Nesson comes up at 205. We'll talk about some of those big lines in the NFL, plus some of the college games that are blinking to those guys. Up next, it's the crap bag, the off-week thoughts of the Scottish guy, and Oregon being Oregon. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Oh, man. Isaiah Collier producing today. Just makes me smile every time I hear her music.
It's a great song.
What a video, too. Y'all remember this video? Yeah?
No.
Oh, my God. The video for Cold Hearted Snake? Where they're doing like the dance competition, not dance competition, they're doing like a almost like tryouts for the video or whatever, and she and the dancers show up and they're doing it for like a table full of just nerdy looking uptight judges, but she ends up doing like the sexiest version of this song, and they're jumping all over the place and rubbing all over each other. It's sexy as hell. It's a great video. This was like acceptable MTV level porn for 14-year-olds back in the day.
Oh gosh, Paula's wearing the police officer's hat too.
Exactly.
With the sheer top, you can see her bra.
Oh man.
Short skirt, there's dudes jumping through her legs.
This was edgy Paula. Okay? This was edgy. This wasn't like Scat Cat animated that. No, no. This wasn't straight up. No. This was Paula growing up.
She's dancing like a dominatrix here, too.
She is.
Putting her heels all over that dude's chest. That would bother me.
It's a wonderful video. Oh, what a great video it is. And then by the end of the video, two of the judges are getting a little hot and bothered, a guy and a girl, and they're both like sweating, and they show those beads of sweat running down their faces. It's a wonderful video. Thank you, Isaiah, for that little memory. Cold Hearted Snake from Paula Abdul. Is that what it's called, or is it just called Cold Hearted?
Cold Hearted.
Just Cold Hearted.
Right? Yeah.
Paula Abdul, Isaiah Collier, always giving us different stuff. So that would not qualify as Cool Spooky White Chick, correct?
Nah.
Okay.
She's a little spooky, though.
She is spooky. She's cool, though.
Well, especially once she got to, what was it, American Idol, that she was a judge on?
She was.
And it was clear that she was going through some substance abuse issues at times on that show.
Yeah, and she and Simon didn't get along. She wasn't on that show long. Maybe two seasons, and that was it.
Right.
Yeah, she was in and out of that one pretty quick. All right, thanks to Isaiah for all the great music today. We got Brandon Lang coming up at 105. Right now, though, let's jump into the crap bag for a couple things.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just Think of a bag of crap.
Oh, the crap bag today brought to you by F1 and Coda. Yep, it's here. Finally, the weekend you've all been waiting for. If you are a gearhead, Billy Joel's out there, F1, and our guys are following it too. Rodney Rodriguez and Stu Myrick, they're all over Coda this weekend at the Rodney R, at Stu Myrick, at the Horn ATX. They'll have you covered on all our social media platforms, hornfm.com. Keep it there. All the interviews and pictures and sights and sounds from Coda. Check out CircuitOfTheAmericas.com. Remember, all those parking lots are full. Please double check CircuitOfTheAmericas.com for how you can get out there efficiently with shuttles and all that stuff if you don't already have your parking. All right, even though it's the off week, we'll get you a little ramble from the Scottish guy here as Texas tries to get reset before Baylor. Here we go.
Folks, as the housing market starts to cool off in our area just a wee bit, it's had to stop folks who are deciding that they're planning on relocating and they want another house, a new house.
There it is. Secret's out.
What just happened here?
God, I can't believe
Bucky
we did that.
Bucky is the Scottish guy.
I feel so bad.
Bucky is the Scottish guy. This whole time I thought it was you.
We've been protecting it for years and finally, oh my God, that's terrible. Bucky, I'm sorry, man. I'm so sorry that happened. Yeah, I feel bad.
What just happened here?
I feel bad. I feel so bad.
Say what just happened.
I say it's
gonna... Yo, I have no idea what just happened. It's Friday.
Did the computer just take over? What was that? That's crazy. I'm not sure what to do at this point.
Wait a minute. Did you even send him Scottish guy?
I thought I did.
Yeah, he sent it.
I thought I sent it. I double checked it. There we go. Come on.
Well, this is on my computer right now.
Don't do that. I thought I was hearing it on the air. What are you doing?
I was like, all right, here we go. Hold the computer speakers up.
It's the worst radio ever. Man. All right. You got it? We good? All right, here we go.
Come on, baby, finish what you started. I'm incomplete. That ain't no way to treat the brokenhearted. Come on and finish, babe. Next week, there'll be plenty of time to talk about fourth quarters and blown leads. But now, the counselors at sgspa.com encourage Coach Sark to get away from it all. Take a breath, take a break, and take a long look at that wife of yours. Couldn't hurt. And ask if she can sub in at left or right guard. Also this week, Sark reached out to a group of coaches to ask how they recharge. His old boss Nick says he puts fake bruises on himself, blames it on road security, then uses it as a weird motivation later in the year. The guy he followed, old Tommy Herman, suggested a parlor of some sort and headbutting people until they think you're smart. Lane Kiffin screamed the words duck and run over and over and said he was about to call LSU. Not helpful. Some other guy named Nick out west told him to waffle on the vaccine and then give back millions of dollars. Also not helpful. Ed O said to bring random women to practice. Jimbo told him to get the school to pay him $100 million guaranteed, and John Gruden said, knock on wood if you got me, and emailed Sark a joke about a priest, a female official, and Carl Nassib walking into a bar. Don't worry, Horns fans, he deleted it. And I feel like there was one more. Oh yeah, and Urban Meyer suggested he go dancing. Said his favorite one is the hand jive. To each his own. All right, rest up, Longhorn fans. Waco may suck even more than usual. Off week 62, bad blocking and missed tackles, 3. This is SGBREAK.
Well done, Bucky.
If you want to go, man, the man's talented. If you want to go back and check out any of the Scottish guys throughout the season, hornfm.com. You can check out the Shirts and Skins page for that, for all the hours you might have missed, for some of the interview breakdowns. If you missed the story earlier in the week when Jeff Ward was in with us talking about the kid that snuck into the A&M game and took the selfie with Jimbo, we got that story for you. Trey and I going back and forth on the Washington State coach. That was this week as well. A lot of good stuff at hornfm.com. A lot of shows throwing things up there as well. Also this week, you know the crap bag is going to notice an Oregon uniform situation if the national world is talking. So Chris Bennett shoots it to me today. Trey, Oregon's going with uniforms that are paying tribute, I guess is the way to say it, to duck eggshells. So they've used so many ideas. They're going with, like, imagine, like, speckled duck eggs. And they're wearing uniforms to play UCLA tomorrow that will mimic the speckled duck eggs. A lot of people do not like them. So I wanted you to take a look. Let me know what you think. They're essentially white-on-white uniforms. I think there's a little too much white involved. Oregon can't swing and hit a homer every time. I think this is going to be one of theirs that kind of is a foul ball more than it is a homer.
No, this is gross. I don't like the texture. It looks sloppy.
You don't
it
like, looks the, like the paint
splatter? Yeah, it looks
splatter.
Like just like the, remember in the early 1990s where there was a big paint splatter phase
yep.
on clothing? Always thought it was hideous. Even as somebody who doesn't have great fashion sense necessarily, I can sometimes tell when there's something that's a trend in the moment that will be mocked down the road. This is one of those uniforms that Oregon probably will not go to after people see it in action unless something miraculous happens tomorrow, and then they'll be forced to.
Yeah, I think they needed to try to match the helmet and pants a little better than they did. And I think the helmet, I need to see it in motion, too, tomorrow. The helmet always ends up looking cool to me. Those wings on the side and put the O on the back, it's brilliant. I mean, I love that move. This one's just going to be a little weird. I don't think it's going to be one they go back to. I agree.
You don't need your uniform to look like a Jackson Pollock painting, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. It's just too it's like that NFL stuff they've been wearing for the crucial catch, where it's a bunch of just like colored lines all over the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the way that looks. It's too spread out.
Mm-hmm.
When you have it just on the hat, that's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay, but not the whole thing.
And with the hat, it shouldn't be the entire hat. It should be like a portion of the hat.
Yeah,
too.
They did it like right behind the logo, but right. It's not all over the hat.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a better way to do that. So check out Oregon. Oregon at UCLA is ABC tomorrow at 2:30, and the Ducks will be wearing the eggshell uniforms. I couldn't make that up if I tried. Up next, 105 on Fridays means it's degenerate number one, Brandon Lang. You never know what he's going to say. Of BrandonLang.com. We'll tell you about the podcast as well. And we'll get his thoughts on a week without the Cowboys and without the Longhorns. This is The Horn.